Amazing grace, my chains are gone. That's where that's printed, the words. You can use that, but give it back to me.
Really?
Yeah. Amazing grace. The words are on the insert of your bulletin. Good morning. Beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we rejoice in Him, His goodness, and in this day. So welcome to our service this morning. Just so you know, the computer that runs the projection, I don't know, it sort of, last Sunday it worked fine. When we had to do something in the afternoon with it, it wouldn't come on. We had it at the shop in Yankton. This week, they said, everything's fine, it comes right on. We get it home here and doesn't come on. So, technology. Thankfully, we have our hymnals and still the praise books. It's just we get so used to the words on the screen, don't we? So, unless something happens here in the next couple minutes, we'll be using the hymnals, which is all right. So, a couple other announcements to go over. Adult Sunday School will show the second part of this DVD today after church, starting about 11 o'clock. It's called America's Christian History, and that part does work so far because it runs through a different part of the system back there. So just letting you know, if you want to join us, you're certainly welcome to do that. 4-0s, ladies, planning to meet this Wednesday here at church at 2:30. If you haven't signed up, there's a sheet there in the narthex. It just helps them know how many to expect. The floor project, thanks Monday night. We had 18 guys here helping to unload all that tile. There were 8 pallets of it. And with that many guys, it did not take long. So thank you all for responding to that. And we'll let you know again as we need help as we go on. Other than that, it's the same as it was last Sunday. So, but as it says there, by faith it will be done. Amen. Amen. Yes, it will. There's a lot of other announcements in there. I will let you read those as you have time following the service. But was there anything about, is Grace here today on the blood drive sign up? Okay, so nothing on that today. Awesome. Okay, the blood drive's coming up July 28th. Here, Grace Nuss is doing that as her senior project, and I guess the spots are all full. But if you are not on the list and want to give, I'd say just still let her know, because a lot of times there's cancellations, or there can be. So, wonderful. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day as we humble ourselves before you and under your mighty hand. You are God. You are God Most High. Father, in your word, you are revealed as the Ancient of Days. And so you are. And what a privilege it is that we can have a relationship with you as our God and our Father. Jesus with you as our Lord and our Savior. And so we come humbly before you, bowing our hearts, our lives. Father, we present our bodies before you this day as living sacrifices and ask you to work mightily through us, that you would shine through our lives. And so, Lord, as we are here today, as we will sing shortly, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. And to you be all the glory and power and might for what you do on this earth. We ask, as always, Lord, that you fill this sanctuary with your goodness, your power, your wonderful presence as you move among us by the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So our first hymn, if you weren't here, I'll say it again. We have to use our hymnals today. The projector's not working. So number 182, For the Beauty of the Earth. Let's stand together as we sing. 182.
Thank you.
Take a moment, please. Greet those around you before you're seated today. Yes, sir. Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns this morning. Some things that I have written down here, and this was on the prayer chain, but first of all, prayers for the family of Dennis Handel. So a lot of the older ones know who Dennis was, maybe several don't, but Dennis's father was Aaron Handel, if you remember Aaron. And Dennis, of course, grew up here and graduated from here and lived a lot of his adult life in Denver, Colorado. But Dennis would be a stepbrother then to Judy Headley and Teresa Anderson and their siblings. So his funeral is going to be here in our sanctuary this Friday morning at 10:30. There will not be a lunch following the service, just a 10:30 service visitation before starting at 9:30. Otherwise, as we continue to pray for our little baby Oliver Collinsworth, Kylie did text me yesterday, and he was released from the hospital yesterday, going home with oxygen. So they were just happy to be home, because that's been, I'd say, a full week and a half at least, where he was in the children's hospital in Sioux Falls. But continued prayers for them. Also, Joy Haas, who's here this morning and was having some issues, I guess, went to the heart hospital last Sunday, and they did an angiogram Monday and found a blockage and put a stent in. She's doing well. Yes, two thumbs up. Okay, so praise the Lord that you went in, and thank God for leading you to do that. So that's what I have today. Anything else over here? No? Okay. Here? Harriet.
I'd love to see God bless the grandchildren out west with rage as he has blessed us.
Yeah. Amen. She's asking for prayers that God would bless the ranchers out west with rain as he has blessed us here. Yes. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, Marilee.
I think I need prayers for my brother Bill Huber.
Okay.
He has had cancer in his kidney and it has spread, and now it's in his lungs and
Okay. And he's in Vermilion. Yeah. Marilee's asking prayers for her brother Bill Huber. He has had cancer in his kidney. That's been
this is the third time
now. It has spread to his lungs.
Yeah.
Okay. So he lives in Vermilion, Marilee's brother, Bill Huber. All right, we will pray for him. Yeah, Greg.
Just a prayer of joy for the Four Saints. Our annual meeting was yesterday, and God is blessing us.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you. Greg was sharing, and I should have said that earlier. Yesterday, while we were supposed to be in Rhode Island this week, but, you know, that was so shut down that we had to do our annual meeting virtually again of the Four C's, which was yesterday at 1 o'clock. And just to God be the glory for all that he's doing. I don't care to do things virtually, but I'm sure there was a couple hundred plus on there at least from around the nation. And we thank God for what he's doing, all the reports and good things happening. So, amen. Anybody else? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for the rains that you have brought. It was 2 weeks ago, I believe, as we gathered in the park and things were getting desperate on this side of the state, and we called out to you and you have answered with beautiful rains. We do lift up the western part of our state and other places that are so dry. As Lord, we all depend on your life-giving rain. And we know that we can't make it happen ourselves. It is out of our control. But it is fully in your control, and you are sovereign over all. And so we lift these requests to you. And we trust you for bringing rains across the state and through this region and to other parts of our nation, the West Coast, that are in such drought. Father, as we look at the weather forecast again, we see, according to them, a sort of a dry spell coming. But as we prayed 2 weeks ago and we lift up to you today, we know that you are far beyond the meteorologists, the weather forecasters. We thank you for what they can do. But Lord, you can bring rain when they don't even forecast it, and we trust you in that. Thank you for your goodness in that way. For the meetings yesterday, of our annual meetings in the Four Seas, Lord, thank you for our conference minister, Ron Hamilton, and those others that serve as regional pastors and all that volunteer. Truly a blessing what you are doing, and we thank you for it. We want to lift up the family of Dennis Hondel, Lord, at his home going this past week, and we pray for your, ask for your comfort to each of them. Lord, as his body will be transferred back here, that will go smoothly as planned and scheduled, and we look forward to celebrating his life and his home going this coming Friday. Thank you, Father, for the work that he did in the Gideons out there for many years, serving you faithfully in that way. We want to thank you, Lord, that Oliver Hollinsworth was able to go home. We continue to pray healing throughout his body. Pray for Kylie and Tyler as parents, that you just give them strength as they walk through this journey. We know they are not alone, that you never leave us. You never forsake us. Thank you for Joy, Father, that you prompted her strongly to go in to the heart hospital and that they were able to find what was going on and get it taken care of. And so we thank you for continued healing throughout her body. And there's many others listed in our bulletin and far beyond that we lift before your throne. We pray for Marilee's brother, Bill Huber, as word has come for that the cancer there has spread. Be with him, his wife, the family. Thank you for strength and healing through his body. Lord, again, a couple unspoken requests for two young adult men that are struggling with some health issues, and you know who they are and what they're facing. We lift them before your throne and thank you by faith for what you're doing in them. Lord, as we always pray for our nation, asking and thanking you for what you're doing behind the scenes by the Spirit of the living God, bringing revival to this land, pouring out your Spirit upon us, bringing healing, Lord, and changing hearts, opening the eyes that have been blinded by the powers of darkness, opening their eyes to see, Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And as we pray for our leaders, our president and vice president and Congress and the Supreme Court and all the way down. Thank you for guiding and directing every decision that's made according to your will and plans and purpose. And for our troops serving so faithfully, Lord, we thank God for them and ask your blessing upon them and your protection as they serve at home and throughout the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor, can I say
that? Yeah.
I just want everyone to know that Pastor Mike's term on the Board of the Four Seas ended.
Oh.
And faithfully served the Four Seas. He was involved in the marriage resolution that we had passed. He added that up, but I just want to thank him for his faithful work on the Board of the Four Seas. We're
going to
miss him tremendously.
Well, thank you, Greg. Thank you. Yeah, it was a joy to serve on the Board of Directors 2-3-year terms. This last year was difficult because everything was virtual. The biggest part of my joy, one of the joys, was that's how I met so many other pastors in the Four Seas, was at these meetings. So now you see new ones come on their faces, but you don't get to talk to them. So thank you. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
I want to read from Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, before we receive the offering, which the box is in the back there. You all know that. We're going to be looking at Abraham today as we work through Hebrews 11. This was a time where there was a battle, and these enemy kings had come against him. They had captured his nephew Lot, and so Abraham goes out to fight against them. And after the battle is won, there's this guy named Melchizedek, who's a type of Christ. It says, then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, Salem would later be Jerusalem. The king of Salem, he brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. And that really is the first time where we see that principle of the tithe in Scripture. Ever before the law was given, Abraham gave to the Lord. So let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. So, Father, we do praise you. We praise you with our lives as we live every day. We want to praise you with the first fruits of all of the increase that you bless us with as we have opportunity, Lord. We're not just dropping money in a box, as it were. We're sowing seed into your kingdom, and help us to realize that. Just as we live in a farming community and we put seed in the ground and we see the harvest, it is all by faith, naturally. And it's by faith spiritually as we give to you. And we thank you for being our source and our provider as we live our lives upon this earth. So, Lord, we ask that your message, the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, would go forth powerfully from this place to all who attend, to all who may listen online, however it might be. Jesus, that you would be glorified as who you are, and that is Lord of all. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and if the kids want to come for the Kingdom Kids time, please.
How are you today? Good. It's good to see everybody here. You having a good summer? Did you guys do anything this summer that you've never done before? What? Swim on the swim team. Was it a little scary at first? It was, wasn't it? When we do things for the first time, it can be scary. But were there people there to help you? Who helped you?
But
nobody swam with you?
Yeah,
shoot.
Yesterday nobody could because it was swimming.
Oh, but were there people there to encourage you and that you trusted, that told you, keep going, you can do it?
Yeah. Not
they weren't, were they? Yeah. Did anybody else do anything for the first time this summer?
I swim team.
Swim team, yeah. Okay. Did anybody go to camp? Oh, go ahead, Bo. Did you forget? Okay.
Trent
went to overnight camp. Was it a little scary? No, not for you, huh? You're older. Not for you either. Well, sometimes when we do things for the first time, it can be a little scary. But we have people we can trust in. Like, do you remember riding the bike for the first time? Some of you do, some of you don't. That is really scary, isn't it? Because in your mind, you can't figure out how you're going to balance. But you do it. Learning to swim. Learning to jump into that pool or dive off the board. That can be scary, but you have somebody there to help you. They just don't say, just go in. They just don't throw you in, do they? With swim lessons? No, they're there with you. They help us with all kinds of things. How about going to school? Those of you that are, who's going into preschool?
Me.
Yeah. Who's going into kindergarten? Yeah. Who's going into first grade? Yeah. And on and up. And is it a little scary? But does your mom just throw you out of the house or your dad and say, go to school, find your own way? No, they go with you. They take your pictures. They are with you. Well, that's good. So today I brought a blindfold with me, and I've asked Laura to be my little helper today. Laura, can you come up here? All right. I'm going to ask Laura to do a little bit something a little scary, Laura. I'm going to put this blindfold on you, and I'm going to ask you, let's see here if I can do this. Oh, hold on. Let me see who's back there. Let's see. We'll ask you to go back to where Johnny and Lori are with a blindfold. And I want you to go. No. See him? Okay. Do you see him? Now I want you to go back there and I want you to get. Can you see?
No.
Tell me the truth. Can you see?
No.
No. Okay. I want you to go back there and get a hymnal for me, okay?
Okay.
All right. Go ahead. Is it a little scary? Wait, wait, wait. No, that's not the hymnal. That's the praise book. Okay, it's a little scary because I did a little tricky and I turned you around, but I'm going to go with you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to go with you to go where I asked you to go, okay? You can trust me. I'm not going to make you walk into anything, all right? We're going to walk right up to here, and here's Johnny. Here's the hymnal. Got it? All right, now I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be with you, even though you don't kind of know where I'm stepping you. Okay, good. There, you did it. Good job, Laura. Can you get that off? Hold on. You know what? There was somebody in our Bible that kind of did a little bit like Laura did. Here, you just hold that. God asked Abraham to go to a place where he'd never been before. In Genesis 12:1, it says, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's house, and go to the land that I have showed you. Now, can you imagine they were a little scared? He told them, you get up, take your family, and move. And you don't know where you're moving to. Do you think that would be scary? But who was with them? God was with them. He told them to leave, go to the land I'm going to show you. And they did it. They did. They went to where God told them, and he led them, and they trusted him. Sometimes in our lives, we're going to have to do things that are scary and that we're not sure about. But we need to trust the parents God's given us, the people God has put in our lives, that they're going to be with us and help us. Just like it was scary a little bit for Laura to walk without being blindfolded, I was with her so she could trust me that I was not going to leave her. God is with each one of us, no matter what we need to do, no matter what we have to face ahead of us, new school, new friends, new teacher, whatever it is, God will be with us and give us those that we need, okay? So we will trust him. Let's pray, okay? Ready? We're going to pray now. Here we go. Fold our hands, close our eyes. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you that you are with us. You promised to never leave us or forsake us. We thank you for the family you've given us, the parents you've given us, the teachers you've given us, the grandparents, all of those who help us in our lives every day. We trust you. We trust you that you will lead us in all of our lives. I ask you to bless these boys and girls. Help them to be a blessing to those that they are around, to share your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can get your papers right over here, okay? What?
Mm-hmm. Sing, sing, sing. There we go. Sing number 615. Again in the hymnal. 615. Jesus, you're the sweetest name of all. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we do thank you for the name of Jesus Christ. As the words say of the song, the sweetest name of all. But we also know it is the most powerful name of all. That at your name, Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so we bow our knees to you as we look in to your living word now this morning. Thank you, Father, for such amazing examples of faith through men and women of old. Let us be inspired by their lives as we live on this earth today. So, Lord, I ask as always that you'd speak through me by the Holy Spirit of God, that my words would not be just with enticing words of men's wisdom, but that they may be by the demonstration and the power of the Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 8 this morning. We've looked at Cain and Abel. We looked at Enoch. Last Sunday we were with Noah. Today, Abraham, Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him, God, faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Amen. Now there's a few more verses in there that go on with Abraham and Isaac and that, and we'll come to that eventually, but that's where we're going to stop for today in Hebrews chapter 11. So just to review, if you're filling in your outline there, Cain and Abel, Abel showed us how to enter this life of faith. In other words, salvation. It's got to come by blood, the blood sacrifice, and for us, that's Jesus Christ. Enoch shows us how to live then, how to live the life of faith. Remember, we saw that he walked with God for 300 years in close fellowship with him. Noah, last Sunday, shows us the work of the life of faith. We are not saved by works, but as we are saved and live our lives in Christ, then certainly that should be evidence of our salvation. Today, with Abraham, shows us how to be a friend, how to be a friend of God through faith. Being a friend of God is not earned either. I'm not trying to say that, but we'll see. So let's go back to Noah last week. If you want, Noah had those three sons, remember, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right? So Shem, that's who Abraham comes through, sorry. Shem and that line that leads to Israel comes through there. Somebody had asked me after last Sunday, well, where do we come in the line of Noah? And so I looked it up and was checking things out. It seems to be through Japheth, where we come. It says most European nations, people of that heritage, come through that line of Japheth, as far as naturally. So, as we're talking about Abraham here, before we get into it, just a little intro. He was called a friend of God. Three times in Scripture, he is called a friend of God. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? We see, first of all, and I have these references, I'm not going to read all the verses, but they're in your outline, in 2 Chronicles 20, this is the time when Jehoshaphat was king of Judah, and these are the armies, the Ammonites and the Moabites had come against him. If you remember, they were way, way outnumbered, Judah was. And Jehoshaphat falls on his face before the Lord. The people proclaim a fast. He does for the nation. And this was part of his prayer. He says, oh God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land, talking about the land of Israel, before your people, Israel? And did you not give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? That was Jehoshaphat's prayer. The other time we'd see it in Isaiah chapter 41 is when God is talking to the people of Israel and Judah, and he's in the ending of it, he says, you descendants of Abraham, my friend. And then we see that again in James 2:23 in the New Testament, where it says, and Abraham was called God's friend. Pretty neat, huh? You think you're a friend of God? Yeah. If you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are a friend of God, because Jesus said that on the night before the cross in John 15. He said that to the disciples that were with him. He said, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. So what do we think about friends naturally? I think, you know, if we think of kids, littler kids when they're growing up, that's always, I maybe more so with little girls, but probably little guys too. But anyway, that's a big deal, right? At that age, amongst each other, do you want to be my friend? Would you be my best friend? Yeah. And then so the kids go home, Mom, so-and-so is my best friend. And maybe the next day at school something happens at recess between those two best friends, and all of a sudden what? You are not my friend. Right? You're not my friend. And mom here, dad hear about it that night. So-and-so's not my friend. Well, and the good thing is usually by the next day, it's back to best friends, right? But as we mature into our adult lives, friendships become more serious, and the devotion becomes more serious and should, and our spouse should really be our best friend, but we have other best friends, don't we? That's naturally, because what is a friend, naturally speaking? A friend is faithful to you and you to them. A friend is someone who keeps their word to you and you keep your word to them. That's all involved in friendship, isn't it? A friend is someone who sacrifices for you and you sacrifice for them. And Jesus is all of that for us. He is. And so he calls us his friend. So we walk in that, and we are blessed by that. God does this perfectly. So we come into our age of social media, and now, you know, I'm not on Facebook. I don't care if you are. That's fine. I'm just not. But I hear enough of how it goes. Well, so, and this is adults. Well, so-and-so just unfriended me today. Or I'm a friend of so-and-so now. Are you a friend of so-and-so? Yeah. Well, I was until they unfriended me. And that's how that all goes, isn't it? Well, guess what? God will never unfriend you. Is that good news? Yeah. He will not unfriend you. If you are his child, that is forever. And we can rest on that. So praise the Lord. A friend of God. What a blessing to be called that. And I love the last verse of the ending of what I read there, verse 16. It says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He was talking Abraham and the descendants. Well, we are true descendants of Abraham in Christ. We are. You know, God is not ashamed to be called your God. And we should never be ashamed to call him our God, no matter where we are at. All right, so let's get in this a little more here. Abraham's example of a life of faith. Back to Hebrews 11. So first we come the journey of faith. It is a journey. Listen to verse 8 again in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now, you got to realize, when we're with Abraham, we are 4,000 years ago. 4,000 years ago. So that makes us 500 years after Noah's flood. Because last Sunday I said the flood was about 1,500 years after creation. Plus 500, we're at Abraham now, today. When was that original calling? Well, Genesis 12. All of this, you go back to Genesis. I just didn't read it beforehand. Listen to Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Just a tidbit on that. How are all peoples on earth going to be blessed through Abraham? Because of Jesus, right? Because of Jesus comes down that line all the way 2,000 years after Abraham. All peoples on earth who receive him as Lord and Savior are blessed. Verse 4, Genesis 12, 4. So Abram left. He left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Okay, so let's look at this first. So where was Abraham, his family? They were originally living in a place called Ur of the Chaldeans. Other words used is Mesopotamia. So that is in present-day Iraq, where they were living when God called him. Guess what? They were not a God-fearing people. In Joshua 24, it tells us that Terah, Abraham's father, worshiped idols. So God calls him when he's down there in that land of Ur of the Chaldeans, which would have been right where in the vicinity of the Garden of Eden would have been before the flood of Noah. Of course, it was all destroyed then. So they're down there in Iraq, today, present-day Iraq, along the Euphrates River. He calls them. He says, leave your father, your household, and go. Well, so Abraham, he didn't get it all right. Well, we don't either, do we? We'd mess up a whole bunch in this faith journey. So he takes his father, Terah, and the household, his nephew Lot, and they all go up the journey. They go 600 miles following that Euphrates River up into today what would be northern Syria, Haran. And there they stop for about 5 years. That's where Terah dies, there. God speaks to Abraham. He has to tell him more than once about the mission, as he does with us, depending on what it is he's calling us to do. Often it's more than once he's speaking to us about it. So he calls him again and tells him, go to the place I'm going to show you. This is going to be the promised land. And depending on what part of Israel, how far they would have gone down in, that could have been another 500 miles. Think about that journey at that time, 4,000 years ago. That's pretty incredible. Did Abraham have some kind of brochure of Canaan? Well, we know he didn't, right? Did he have a map to look at? Oh, okay. Well, they had some trade routes, yes. He couldn't go on the internet and Google it like we can today, even though I was thinking about that. And sometimes, you know, they paint the rosiest pictures if you're looking for a motel or a resort or where you're going to stay. And wow, one time, that was a few years back when we were in Arizona and we spent the night in Phoenix before flying back home. We had found a motel. Of course, oh yeah, just close to the airport. Well, not. A beautiful picture of it all. We get in there, and it's as we're following MapQuest and that, and thinking, we're going into a very much worse part of Phoenix, that I hope we're going through this part of Phoenix. No, right smack in this area that was very sketchy, and the motel, like, oh, this is where we're staying tonight. And we get in the room, and it's like, ugh. Bed bugs or whatever. We didn't have bed bugs, but you wondered. Anyway, he had nothing to go by except God said, go to this place. There's so much reference to Abraham throughout Scripture, even in Acts chapter 7. If you want to read that later today, this is when Stephen, before he's getting stoned to death for his faith, he starts preaching about Jesus, but where does he go to? Abraham. Listen to a little bit of it. He says, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia. That's Ur of the Chaldeans down there in Iraq. Before he lived in Haran, Syria. What did he say? Leave your country and your people, God said. Go to the land I'll show you. So he left. He left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living, Israel, today. So how strong was Abraham's faith? It was strong. Perfect? No, but strong. What did it say? Hebrews 11, he obeyed and what? Went. He obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Wow, pretty amazing. In Acts 7, God said, leave your country and your people. So he left. He did it just by faith, by raw faith. So this journey of faith, letter A, what does Jesus say to us today? We live by faith just the same as them, as they did at that time. There's a time in Luke chapter 9 when Jesus with the 12. And first he said to them, okay, so who do the crowd say that I am? Oh, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah who's come back from the dead. Some say maybe you're one of those other prophets who's come back. And then Jesus pinpointed him, as he will do with every one of us and does. But who do you say I am? Remember Peter's answer? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And of course it goes on. But then what in that same context in Luke, Jesus says to them and to us, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. He's still calling us to that life of faith. Think about a lot of you, if your ancestry is the Germans from Russia. You think about that, I'm sure you do, I do. As they set out from Russia, and even their move into Russia in the 1700s, their flight out of Russia then in the mid-1800s, coming across the ocean with just the possessions little they had here, not knowing where they were going to end up. We hear all stories, some of them turning the wagon over, and that was their home through that first winter, living under the wagon. Could we imagine? Some, I think of this, I don't know his first name, Zabe, but was grandpa, your grandpa Zabe, that with the well, huh?
Peter
Zabe, yeah, and Stella. I noticed I was visiting her recently. She has that book, I suppose maybe a lot of you do. She wanted me to read that story. When they had the well they had, it never had enough water through the summer season, and it would run out, and they'd always have to get water elsewhere. And they, one night, probably more than one, but it tells about the night they went to prayer. The family went to prayer at the supper table before God, weeping. God, show us where the water is, where the well would be. They go to bed, and God gives Peter a dream in the night and shows him this hill there by the homestead and said, drill there. And they get up in the morning, and he's all happy, and his wife's like, why are you so happy? We were all crying when we went to bed. And he said, God showed me where to drill that well last night in my sleep. And she's like, that we can't find water in the lowland. Why would we find water on that hill? I don't know, but that's what God said. Even the person to help drill the well, I don't know, I'm getting this all exactly right, but he said, why do you want to drill on the hill? Drill there, God showed me. You know what? They found water, a well that never ran out. Stories of faith like that as people seek God over the ages. Now, your journey of faith doesn't always have to mean that God's going to move you up out of here 600 miles away, although it could mean that. Could mean that for a young seminarian here with us this morning. Yeah, Matthew. You don't know where God's going to call you. Maybe you got an inkling now, but for many, it's right where you're at. But there should be things, and there have been, I'm sure, things and callings of God in your life, through your life, where it's like you're feeling, I don't know if I can do that, Lord. That's often how it is. And God's moving and stirring. It happens with VBS program, happens with Christmas program directors, ones that are like, I don't think I can do that, but okay, right? And so it is. Some are a more dramatic experiences, than others. When I was, a lot of you know, and I'm not going into all the story because you've heard it, the newer ones maybe don't know, but for me in seminary, my last year of that, and I'm seeking God, where am I supposed to go? I don't know, Lord. And I've just had a desire to go on a mission trip over spring break to the Navajo Reservation. Nothing more than that. Oh, that sounds interesting. Yeah, I'd like to go. And I get out there on the Navajo Reservation that very first Sunday. We're in a Navajo church on the New Mexico side. The service is going. And I never had this before to this never had it after to that degree, and the Spirit of God is moving on me and within me, and I'm just crying, and I can't stop, and even the service is over, and I'm feeling that God is leading me there. Dinner afterwards, I can't even eat my dinner. The couple that directors that took us on the trip, they're like, "Are you okay, Mike?" I'm like, "I'm okay. I can't even eat my food." And I'm just like, oh, Lord, and this was through the week, if this is where you want me to go, I'll go. But you're going to have to help me because this is total desert. Number one, I don't know if I can live without any green grass, no trees, nothing, just rocks. But I'll go, but where? And so as the week went, we met with different pastors and different communities through the week. Is it here? The last place we went on that, it wasn't out loud. None of this was out loud, just in my heart. God said, there. I'd only met the couple. Got to see him for maybe 2 hours, and that wasn't one-on-one. It's them sharing with us. Every place needed help. So I got back, write him a letter. I think God's telling me to come. No answer. Thinking, well, I talked to the directors who took us on the trip, and they're like, the Navajo people in general are not a letter-writing people, Mike. You need to call him. So I called. Hey, did you get my letter? Yeah, I'm sorry. We don't write letters very often. But come. Well, where am I going to stay? Well, with us starting out. Okay, so this was like April, graduate in May, September, going out there. Just everything I owned in my car, 75 whatever Chevy Impala, two-door for you car people. And I stay with them, but I don't want to go into all this, but that was not it yet either. The church was a half hour away. For me, I wanted to be with the people. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to just see them on Sundays and Wednesdays. I want to live with them and interact with them every day. Well, where are you going to go? He said, the pastor, the Navajo pastor. You can't just move down there. You're a white guy. I'm like, well, I could live in the church. You can't live in the church. There's no running water. There's only a big 55-gallon barrel on its side to wood stove. And you can't live in there. You'll freeze. Have you ever lived without heat? No. Ever lived without water? No. You can't live there. I just kept praying, working on him gently. Finally, he said, all right, I think you're crazy. Go ahead. And I did, and ups and downs, trials, oh yeah. Times I wanted to leave, oh yeah. Many times, yes. See, a life of faith, the journey of faith, as we draw close to him and walk with him as Enoch did, it often requires a break from other things in our lives. It definitely requires a break if we're so tangled up in the world system, if we're tangled up in a pattern of sin, it requires a break from that. The patience, number two, the patience of faith. Just a little into this. We're going to take our time through Abraham. Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger or alien in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Excuse me. You know what that's pointing ahead to? The new Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth, already here in way back in Genesis. Abraham knows that there is a heavenly city that one day is coming. And he's looking ahead to that as well by faith, just as we do. So Abraham lived in that promised land before it was ever Israel. He lived there 600 years before Joshua ever brought the children of Israel across the Jordan River for them to take it as their own. That's a long time to wait, isn't it? You know what? Even in Stephen's sermon back there in Acts chapter 7, verse 5, listen to this. Stephen preaching about Abraham. He gave Abraham no inheritance here in that promised land, Israel. Not even a foot of ground. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. We'll get into that another Sunday. God spoke to him in this way. Now listen, if you were Abraham and God's telling you this, the little details that he's giving, he says this, your descendants will be strangers in a country that is not their own. They will be enslaved there, so Egypt, and mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, God said. And afterwards, they will come out of that country and worship me in this place. Now think about that. Here God's saying, okay, Abram, I need you to get up. You leave this place, Ur of the Chaldeans. Said it again when he was at Haran. Go to this place I'm going to show you. You're going to have descendants as many as the stars and the sand on the seashore. And Abraham's thinking, okay, already at this point, they had not been able to have children. So that's all in his mind. And then God's saying to him, okay, by the way, I got to tell you that your descendants are going to be in slavery for 400 years before they ever come to call this their home. What would you say? Got a plan B, God? I don't sound too fun. Are you sure? You sure this is what you're calling me to do? He said, okay. He went, he obeyed, and he went. Lots of trials, lots of hardships, but he went. He was faithful. And so it goes on. As Abraham, in closing, I won't go into, there's a couple other blanks, but we'll go further next week. In this journey of faith, Abraham's waiting for this promised land, number one, Israel, today. He's waiting, looking forward to this city with foundations, a city that is built by God. It says, the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. We are still waiting for that. So we see the comparison. As Abraham waited for that promise, we are waiting for the promise of the second coming of Christ. Waited 2,000 years? Hey, it's in God's time. Could be any time? Yeah, could be any time. We're getting closer every day, obviously. But we wait in faith, and we be faithful to him. The time from when the promise is given, that's exciting. You got your dream, young people. Well, you got your dream. Yeah, I'm going to go to college for this, and then this is my plans. And you feel that God has put that in your heart. And then it doesn't happen like you thought it should have. And you're like, I don't know what to do. That time in between is the hard time. That's where the true faith, the persistence of it, you stand. You thank him for it by faith. Lord, I don't know what you're doing quite in this, what you've revealed to me. Not quite sure what you're doing in my life here, but I'm going to praise you and I'm going to trust you in it because you are faithful. You are the faithful one and he will lead you every step of the way. Different than what you thought. Until you get to ages like the gray hair and on, and you look back and you can see it all the way through. Yep, I see, God, how you led there. Didn't understand it. Wasn't any fun. See how you led there, and your faith just grows. And when there's the years, you go on in your life and you go through trials, and maybe they're still not fun, but you're able to say, God, I know you got it. You have got this. I've seen you all these times before, and I know you're not going to fail here. I'm just trusting in you. And so we do. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you. You are the faithful one. And we walk every step of this journey with you, hand in hand, just as Anne showed with the kids. You walk with us, even though we don't always see you. So, Lord, for whatever stage of life we're in, We walk by faith. The young here, college grads, recent high school grads, in that big discerning time in their lives, I just lift them to you, Lord. Thank you for directing their steps. You know what is ahead. Help them to be faithful. Every step, help them to keep their eyes on you. And everywhere for the years in between, thank you for guiding and directing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is Higher Ground. Lord, lift me up. Let me stand. Number 549. 549 will stand as we sing this. Before the benediction, I just realized here I missed a prayer before. Dale Jr. and Jennifer lost a good friend last night. Jesse, his last name? Hansen. And he was from Bancroft, Nebraska, and was in at 34. He passed of cancer, has a wife and three little ones. So I want to pray for them before the benediction. Father, we pray for this family. It's got to be very difficult, a young mother with three little ones losing her husband to cancer. Lord, we thank you that he's free from that, that has ravaged his body and he's home with you in heaven. But for this family, they're going to need a lot of help, a lot of comfort, a lot of love in the days, weeks, months to come. And we just pray that you hold them close in your everlasting arms. And Junior and Jennifer as well, and all the many friends and family members. In Jesus' name, amen. Please receive the benediction. And now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Well, we all know God bless America. That is our prayer for our nation. and we're going to sing it. Be seated. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful music, as always.